Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening, and open up to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter number 4 in the Word of God tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And once again, if you're visiting with us tonight, we welcome you here to Cross Point Baptist Church. We love digging into the Word of God. Most of our teenagers and all of our young kids are in different classes this evening. And let's continue to pray for them and that God will be with them, the lessons that they're hearing tonight. And Carrie and I are doing very well. We do praise the Lord now 3 weeks here at Cross Point. And I was mentioned this evening, our house is getting close to being done. And our final walkthrough, I believe, is the 16th, if not mistaken. And then we'll be closing right around a week after that. And so we're very excited to get into our place. And we're enjoying our time here. I'd like to say this. I do praise the Lord for the transition that took place, and I have commended our deacons, and I love our deacons, and love already working with them one-on-one and very closely, but I praise the Lord for the church staff that He has given Cross Point Baptist Church. And when Pastor Arrowwood stepped down and Pastor Chris took over and all the men, they've done a wonderful job. And even bringing my family up to date, they have done it with just grace and love. And they're allowing us to get adjusted and to meet folks and to eat with folks. And I just praise the Lord for the men that are on this hall, the ladies that work down at the end. Brother Schellenberg and I get up and we can go through and run through, but there is a massive team led by Miss Deb that truly works behind the scenes to make sure that money is coming in and out. There's accounts and checks and balances in place, and God has just given just this incredible team here, and I do praise the Lord for the men, and praise the Lord for the pastors here, for all of our teachers, and what a wonderful year we're going to have this year. Let's just continue praying that God blesses and that we push forward for Him. It's a different day, is it not? I often say on a Wednesday night, it's really kind of a tough message to get into. Pastor Fung, you'd say that as well. It's Wednesday night, especially in January. It's pitch black outside. It's very cold. We all worked for a long time. Some of us ate right before we came into here. You're burping under your mask. It's gross. And you're tired. And then we sing. We go through a business meeting, and it's 7:30, and we come in. And I'm like, okay, Lord, let's do this. Let's get into the Word. But I trust that you'll be awake in the Lord tonight. And let's trust Him this evening that He'll give us exactly what we need as we've been looking at this subject, the fortification of faith. The fortification of faith. So we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word tonight? 2 Timothy chapter and number 4. And let's look at verse number 6 this evening. Paul speaking here really comes through these chapters in an amazing way, talking about the Lord's testimony and being strong in grace in chapter number 2, the work of God's approval, really talking about for the younger, fleeing youthful lust. And then chapter number 3, these perilous times, they're going to come. And then all Scripture is inspired there. We come into chapter number 4, and this really just push, this kind of encouragement, this charge that comes to preach the Word of God. And right before Paul heads into these personal requests, he says this in verse number 6 of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Would you follow along as I read? The Bible says this. For I, Paul speaking, now, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure, it's at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. This evening, once again, I want to look at this as we've really been traveling through the book of James, looking at the book of Luke, and finally following through and finishing out here in 2 Timothy, the fortification of faith. the fortification of faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we have had learning and growing in you already in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Thank you, Father, for the givers. Thank you, Father, for those who have stepped out by faith. Savior, do it again. Lord, continue to grow and bless us. May we be wise stewards with what you have given to us. Lord, this evening is great news, but Father, we have a great task in front of us in the days ahead. Lord, we don't know what the stock market's going to do. Father, we don't know what this pandemic's going to do. Father, we don't know what this administration is going to want from us. But Father, we know this, that you are sitting on the throne, that Father, you rule and you reign, and you're going to continue to work until we hear that trumpet sound. Lord, may we be faithful. Father, as we look at this subject once again, the fortification of faith, Lord, touch my heart and my life this evening. May it spread throughout this congregation tonight. Lord, encourage us where we need to be encouraged. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The fortification of faith. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at this subject. Now our fourth Wednesday here, looking at just simply the topic of faith. We begin to realize that faith oftentimes in our lives, no matter how long you and I have been a Christian, oftentimes can be looked at as a subject of someone who has gone before us. It's looked at as a subject that touches someone else's life. It touches someone else's ministry. It touches another generation, but not my generation. It touches another family, but not my family. It touches a missionary, but not me as a dad or a mom or a married couple. We often think about it as these Bible stories in the Word of God that, well, that's faith and it's good to talk about faith. But to be honest with you, in my little life here and, you know, Marion County or Hendricks County, that it's just, you know, it is what it is. I live my life and I come to church. I do my devotions and I work hard and I make a living and I buy a new truck every once in a while or go hunting or shopping or whatever the case may be. We kind of put off faith as though it's this realm that you and I can't live in. But we have seen over the last several weeks that it absolutely is something that all of us ought to desire in our lives this year, 2021. It is something, may I say it this way, as Brother Schellenberg, we've just come through this. It really is something that we ought to be praying about at Cross Point Baptist Church. It's not that God's been good and okay, we live in the black and okay, good, we've got a general account, we've got a building fund and okay, we're going after this forgiveness from the PPP and we're going to just move on and that's good and we'll just keep gaining and gaining and gaining. No, that's not why you and I give. It's so you and I continue to live our life by faith. It's not that we say, well, we've got enough missionaries on the field, so to be honest with you, do we have to give that much? Do we have to take out, it's 12%? Do we have to take out that and give it towards missionaries? Can't we be good and kind of put that towards something? No, understand. This world is still many billions are lost and dying and going to a devil's hell. I'm not going to back off and say, well, I got enough missionaries on the field. Would to God we step out this year and continue to take on missionaries and see them go to the field. Amen. It's not that you and I sit back and say, well, we're comfortable. We're good. We got this wonderful building. We're comfortable tonight. It's nice and warm in here. The lights work. And, we've got these screens. Hey, pastor's wearing a boom mic now. So we're good. And let's just sit back, relax, and we'll just coast until the Lord comes back. Friend, I'm just telling you, that's not the life that God has designed for you and I to live. Brother Schellenberg is exactly right. We've got projects that we've got to tackle. And, well, we've got a building now that is 10, 11, 12 years old. And there are things that are going to have to be repaired. And there's things we've got to plan for. And the carpet's not always going to be in this condition. And these chairs are not always going to be in this condition. And the paint's not always going to be in this condition. If we are a church that is growing, we ought to expect for black marks to be on the wall. We ought to expect there to be little kids kids run around this place. Well, we ought to expect for God to continue to grow us and see families like we saw tonight come and join Cross Point Baptist Church. Yes, that's a massive project. And more I look at it, meeting with Brother Donnie this past week, that at parking lot, you just think, well, just a parking lot. Okay, let's go slap some, blacktop on there. I'm just telling you, when you start digging into it, that is not just to throw some blacktop on it and, let's get out there and paint some new lines and, some handicap spots and we're good and we're great. I'm just telling you, that is going to be a massive undertaking. It's going to take a lot of funds. So what do? Well, the pandemic was bad and, we don't know what the Biden administration is going to do. I think we ought to just wait a couple years. No, we continue to give. We continue to pray. We continue to step out by faith. We continue to win people to the Lord and see them baptized and discipled. And we can see them tithing and we come together. And, there's the ebb and flow of ministry. And we understand that December doesn't come every single month. But God has given us that we're going to be stewards. And what we ought to be praying is not, okay, we saw this swing of $26,000, so let's sit on it, let's be careful. No, actually the Bible talks about a man who saved up and he put it in his storehouses, he put it in his barns, and it wasn't enough. So he tore them down and made bigger barns and put more in the storehouses. And at the end of that, you remember parable, the Christ says, Jesus says that man was a what? A fool. We'd be foolish not to step out by faith at Cross Point Baptist Church. Be foolish not to understand and comprehend that He is coming back. And that we must be busy for Him. And we must be wise. And we must be praying. And we must be seeking counsel. And we must continue to have these deacons meetings. And understand that we're planning out. We're looking at. We want to understand. We want to what? We want that fortification of faith. Now none of that was in my notes. So now I'm 8 minutes behind. So whoever's running this tonight, just bear with me and let's get through very quickly. Just a quick review here. We saw, first of all, there was a reminder to hear the Word of God. It matters what we are filling our mind with. Hey, listen, let me put it this way. If you want your life to be filled with fear, keep watching TV 3 hours of news a night. That's all I'm going to say. Remove things that will hurt your faith. We must be filled with the Word of God, but then we must get rid of that fear. Get rid of that baggage. Get rid of that bitterness. Get rid of that pride. Get rid of those things that are weighing us down so that we can run this race for God. Number three, respond to what God has said. Not just hearers of the word, remember, but doers. That means this, putting into action what you and I have learned. I don't want Wednesday night to be a time that we come in, we go through some prayer requests, we pray together, we jump into the word of God, we're done, we're out, let's go home, let's get home, we're done. And we don't remember, no, we have to put into action those things that you and I are learning. May we talk about it as husbands and wives, or talk about it as friends. Let's make prayer lists together. And it's not just the responsibility of the men in that hallway. It's not just Pastor Dan and Pastor Shepherd, Pastor Chris, Pastor Blake, and all the way through it. It's just their responsibility. It's not just deacons or Sunday school teachers. It's all of us getting together and being serious about praying. Look, responding to the things that God has given to us. Last week we saw, number four, rest in His power. To rest in His power. We get this idea that the Christian life is about living the best that we can. Now tune in, watch it, I'm moving fast. We get this idea that the Christian life is just living this life the best that we can. I'm doing all I can as a single adult, a single parent. I'm doing all I can as a grandparent. I'm doing all I can with, the life that three quarters of is behind me. I guess, God, I'm just doing the best I can. Friend, I'm just telling you, if that's how we're living a life of faith, we're really not living a life by faith at all. We're being dependent upon ourselves. We're being dependent on what we can do. We're being dependent on what we can accomplish. And we get to the end of our life, to be honest with you, friend, only what's done for Christ is is going to matter. The things that we are, oh, look what I did, look what I accomplished, look how great I am, friend. I'm just telling you, a lot of that is going to be burned up at the judgment. It's you and I saying, okay, if we're going to live a life of faith, we have to be dependent upon the Lord. Now, I'm just going to say this because we had a business meeting tonight. I'm just going to put it like this once again. Cross Point Baptist Church ought not to be dependent upon the government or a handout from the government to continue getting the gospel spread in the Indianapolis area. We ought not to be dependent upon, well, as long as that number stays above that, and as long as we've got that much in the bank account, then we're going to be okay. Excuse me, friend, let's just be reminded that our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if you and I pray and seek the Lord and approach these projects that we have with good wisdom and good men behind it and a prayer life. And kind of, I'm just going to go as far as to say this. Even fasting as a congregation that God will lead, guide, and move, then our dependence is not upon a number or upon who's in the White House or upon a bank account or upon a building. Can I just tell you, friend, this building all could burn down, God forbid, but it could all go away. And Cross Point Baptist Church would still exist. Because you and I are the body. It's us. Learned this week, we're in, it's not even called a floodplain. It's Brother Donnie here. I forgot what it's called. We're like in a, what's it called, Pastor? It's like a flood zone. It's like Noah and the Ark. Dude, it's bad out there. If there's ever like this 100-year flood, it's like, he's showing me. I mean, this is where it goes through. And we got to, if you take dirt here, you got to put dirt here. And you put dirt here. You know what? If a flood came and took all this away, we're still the body of Christ. We're going to move on for Him. But we have to rest in who He is. It's not getting through just reliant upon a doctor or anesthesiologist or a debt relief or a, for us personally, it is us resting in the very power of our God. Number five, would you write this down this evening? There is a run when weary. There is a running when weary. Okay, so we rest in His power. We're doing great. Okay, so here we go. Now watch. This is we can't just fly through this. Now watch. So we run, okay, and we're doing it, and we're going to step out by faith. Woo-hoo-hoo! Man, oh man, this is my year. Honey, we're going to do it. We're going to step out by faith. And we get together as individuals or as couples or as whatever the case might be, whether you're in the fourth quarter of your life or you're a college student here, you've made the decision, okay, the fortification of faith, I'm going to step out. And we rest in His power. And we're doing great. And we make big decisions for Christ. And He blesses. And things are going good. But then the attacks come. This is my year. I've never done it before, but I'm telling you, this year, Pastor, I'm going to step out and I'm going to start giving 10% to God. I'm going to start tithing. This thing of giving back, it's a new concept to me, but I'm telling you, this year I'm going to do it because I've heard great stories of folks who have gotten out of debt, people who have been blessed in this way. They put in a check and well, they went out and looked in their mailbox and there was a check and it was doubled. I've been reading all these stories and I've got people asking me, this is my year. I'm going to step out and I'm just going to give by faith. And all of a sudden, it's 6 months in, the debt is still there and it's mounting up. This is my Bible. I'm going to get in and woo-hoo-hoo, 2021, I'm going to read through the Bible. This is my year. And come February, come March, we're bogged down. We're 10 days behind. We get discouraged. Well, this is my year. I'm going to give my all. Step out by faith. Honey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to step out by faith and we're going to give them our all as a family. We're going to renew this marriage. We're going to get a hold of our teenager's heart. This is our year. And then somebody in the family falls into sin. It seems like everything just falls apart spiritually in a miserable way. We step out and going to lead our families into doing something great, man. This is our year. I'm going to show our family. I'm the spiritual leader. We're going to do this. And something goes wrong. We fail. We feel like our family's not looking at us the same. Something's changed. You see, at times we can go through all of these steps. We remember to hear the Word. We remove those things. We respond to what God has said. And then we're going to rest in His power. But then we fail. We get tired. Look at the scene this evening. Look at around our nation. We're tired. There's no doubt. From COVID-19 to masks to racism to the media to this two words, the new normal. Nobody likes to hear that. From riots to politics. There's many of Christians tonight that if you look at them, they feel like giving up. Why? Because discouragement has reigned in their heart and reigned in their life. I remember for Tommy when he was just 5 years old, and Tommy was, we decided to put him in soccer, if you remember, Karen. I don't know, it's really not a great idea to have a 5-year-old in soccer, but we thought it'd be fun. And so we put him in soccer, and Tommy's out there playing soccer. He's kicking this ball around. He was good. I'll be honest with you. It's like his dad, you know what I mean? Pretty athletic. And why are you laughing? And then we had him out there, and he's kicking this ball around. And Karen, you remember that one game? Oh, Tommy came off. He's 5 years old. He's crying. He doesn't want to play. He's taking his shin guards off. 5 years old. Dad's out there. You put your shin guards on. You get back on left field. You kid me. You don't cry. You don't cry. You're getting back out there. But he was distraught. What happened in his 5-year-old's life? 4 or 5 games in. He's loving. Doing great. Scoring goals. What happened? There was a kid that was bigger and better and faster and meaner. And it's just, to be honest with you, the refs weren't putting the flags up. He's 5 years old. God, just let him play. And Tommy got discouraged. He didn't want to play anymore. You ever feel like that? It's too big. This party's going this way. This country's going this way. Our marriage is going this way. Just calling it quits. That discouragement sets in. Oh, it's stage 3. Oh, it's stage 4. Oh, they say there's no cure. Oh, they've said this. Oh, I've been in there too long. Oh, they've been on edge. Just to be honest with you, let's just go ahead and let's call it quits. For me, I tell you tonight, we can't call it quits this evening. You and I can't stop. This is no time to look at the news and to say, well, that's it. Yeah, let's just give up. It's no time to sit back and relax and just kind of coast in. It's not to have the attitude of a 5-year-old that just says, you know what, I'm done, I quit, let's just give it up. Mom, Dad, I'm not going to beat them. He's too mean, or he's too rough, or he's too fast, and I'm just done. Now, may I tell you, friend, even in Tommy's life, this is a true story, Tommy went back out on that field, and he played the rest of the game. And it wasn't because I was sitting there like forcing him to. Now, I'll tell you why he went back out. It was encouragement from his mom, and he went back on the field, and there's Carrie, and there's me, and we're cheering this little 5-year-old on. I mean, we look like, especially my wife, we look kind of foolish out there. All the other parents are sitting there eating their popcorn, drinking their ices, moon pie and RC Cola are kind of the south end, and we're there, saw that, and here's Carrie running up and down the field. Come on, Tommy, you got it. Kick him in the knee. Punch him when he's... Oh, she wasn't saying that. Carrie, there's a deacon here. Let's calm down, honey. You know what I'm saying? And she's cheering him on, and she's cheering him on. He got out there, and they didn't keep score, but I told them they won the game. Bless the Lord, I'm telling you. And we were excited. Why? Why did Tommy go back out there? Because someone was cheering him on. You see, for you and I, in this passage of Scripture, watch out. You and I cannot say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We're not there yet. Well, you don't know, Pastor, I'm now in my 80s. I'm now... No, friend, listen. You may be getting to that place, but you're not part of that great cloud of witnesses yet. God still has a plan for you. So you and I, as we jump in and we're resting in God, and we're doing all these steps that we've gone through, but now we're getting discouraged. What do? Well, we must run when we are weary. And how do we accomplish this? Well, if you're taking notes now, I want you to write this down. What will keep us running? Number one is Christ. Christ will keep us running. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2 says this: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now watch this very carefully. For consider him, think about him, meditate on him, dwell on him. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. When you and I get to that place where we are discouraged, we did step out. It's not fair, Pastor. I went through all of this and I applied and I did. It's the first time. It's not working out for me. Okay. When we get to that place where we don't want to go back on the field of faith anymore, we're ready to call it quits. You and I have to comprehend that we have an example. You and I have somebody that is there, just like a mom cheering on her boy on the soccer field. We have a God in heaven that is going to be there to help us, to cheer us on, to encourage us to keep going, to help us through the storm. To be honest with you, friend, he was the very pattern for running this race. His pattern shows us that no matter the circumstances, you and I cannot give up. From Judas betraying him, or the 12 being scattered, or them can't even pray for an hour without sleeping, or the world rejecting him. He died and was buried and rose again. So I just tell you, friend, I'm glad that his last words on the cross were not, you know what, this is foolish, I'm done. I'm glad that he didn't sit up there on the cross, having given his life for you and I, and say, this is too much. You know what? I didn't see this coming. You know what? This is just outrageous. The Son of God to be here on this cross. No, aren't you glad tonight that he cried out, "It is finished"? Amen. That's our God. Yeah. Time to get low for Jesus, without a doubt. I mean, you talk about a ministry. It's not that he got backstabbed by the world. It's not just the chief priests got to him. It's not just the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Can you imagine? He only had 12, and it was one of the 12 that betrayed him. Friend, you know what that gives you and I? We're going to get hurt sometimes. We might get even hurt by some of those who are close to us. Christians aren't always nice. People around this area are not always just the most kind, wonderful, pleasant. No, understand, you and I are going to go through some heartache and some hurt. You and I are going to step out by faith and be ready to just charge this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to have a setback and things aren't going very well. And when we get to that place, I mean, we're at sink or swim. What do we do? I mean, I feel like we're resting in his power. But now what? Well, we run when weary. And how are we going to continue to run? Well, Christ will keep us running, but also converts will keep us running. Psalm chapter 126, and verse number 6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again," watch this, "with joy." You and I going out, winning others. Let me just put it this way. Now, I'm moving fast, and all of a sudden, I get in this motion, and my voice stays the same, and we begin. If we're not careful, we'll tune out. So don't tune out. I get that maybe for most, if not all in this room, the election did not go probably as planned. This is not a Republican versus Democrat. It's not a political speech. I'm just telling you, it's for a lot of Americans, today was not a great day. And I do want to pause here, just a little commercial break. Let me say this. This is a mature Christian audience tonight. Friend, as bad as it may seem, and some may not agree with some policies, this, that, we must fervently continue to pray for Israel. We have to pray for Israel. If America turns its back now, we'll be looking for the blessed hope real soon, because it's all aligning. And I'm praying that God gives us a couple more years. But as Pastor Brent or Pastor Dan said this evening, I'm thankful that we prayed for President Trump often. Does it mean now that President Biden is in, we stop? He needs to be saved. Pray that he backs Israel. Pray for Vice President Harris. Let me tell you, friend, we're not looking at somebody who loves Christians. And I'm going to put it this far, and I know we're live streaming, I'll be super careful. I'm just telling you this. She doesn't love what we are teaching our kids at Cross Point Baptist School. She does not like it. And there will be attacks coming. Do we give up?
No.
No, we keep running. Do we get back on the field? Why? Because this world needs the gospel. And although it was a dark day, You want to be lifted up? Win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. It helps put into perspective what this life is all about. It's stopping and taking that track or pausing with somebody and taking out your phone and walking through the gospel with them. You see, at times I'm afraid that our eyes are so on everybody else and what everybody else is doing. They didn't do this, and they didn't live up to my standard. They didn't live up to my preference. They didn't. Can you believe that? We become so concentrated on everybody else's life that we forget that in this belt, 800,000 to a million people live around here. And may I tell you, friend, there may be a lot of good people here, but there sure is a lot of lost people here. And when you and I get down and discouraged and weary, who is it that's going to cheer us on? Who else is going to give us that banner? It will be Christ that will keep us running. It will be converts that keep us running. But watch this very carefully. It will be consistent Christians who will keep us running. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We do have those who have gone on before us. We do have those that will be cheering us on. But you know what really helps me as a pastor and as a preacher is to appreciate some preachers who inspire me. And it's not so much maybe their big church or their ability to exegete the scriptures or their continuous big website or how many people they have, followers they have on Twitter or Facebook. To be honest with you, for a preacher now of 15 years, what has helped me in the ministry is appreciate those preachers who have had a continuous lengthy service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who went through tough times, those who went through building programs, and those who went through a church where somebody left the church and it was hard and it was painful and tears were shed, and those men that, although churches all around were compromising on the Word of God, they still stood for something and they stood by the faith and they continued to believe in the fundamentals of the faith. Understand, it gave me an inspiration that everybody goes through hard times and churches go through ebb and flow, but it's me looking at older men that have gone on before me that inspires me. And can I tell you, friend, tonight, if you've been married for 20, 30, 40, some 50 plus years, I'm just telling you, you inspire a younger generation that the world says, look, you're one in two of making it through your marriage, but 50% of marriages in the Christian world is going to end into a divorce. Just by you staying married, watch, is inspiring a younger generation that life wasn't perfect in your marriage and it just wasn't always rainbows and butterflies, and for the last 52 years, it's been like a honeymoon. No, friend, you've had ups and downs, and you've had arguments, and you've had fights, and you've had black eyes, and never mind, and you've gone through those tough times. Can I tell you, you inspire that generation behind you. Let me tell you, a man and lady like this that we have here that pastored a phone and his wife, can I just tell you, they inspire a millennial generation to continue on for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is not a person sitting in here that these kids are not watching you and I. They're watching us. They're looking up to us as we look up to others. Can I just throw this in there? It's not only consistent Christians, but it's also our children that will keep us running. Hey, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, you can't give up. For the couple that's sitting here tonight, and everybody else thinks everything's good and great, but you know it's rough at home, can I just tell you, you can't give up. Well, I don't know, you know, our therapist said, you know, divorce is the only way. Well, I'm just telling you, stop seeing that therapist and come in and get some godly counsel from somebody that loves you, that you can make it through this. Your kids need you together. You're going to make it. We'll get through this. It's overnight. We'll find out. No, it's okay. Excuse me, for the parent or grandparent here tonight, that kid is wayward and that kid's got the tattoo and the long hair and out there and doesn't want anything new with Jesus and church. And we're just relying on one verse in the Word of God. Well, train up a child the way you should go. And understand, friend, we take that so out of context. I'm just telling you, you're out here and you're saying, I just be honest, he is so far, she is so far gone that they'll never be back. I'm just telling you, friend, you can't give up on them. Continue to love them. Continue to pray for them. Continue to invite them. Continue to love them and cherish them and help them to understand that just because they've gone through a rough road or just because maybe they've lost their way a little bit, that God in heaven's not sitting up there saying, yeah, you know what, let's be done with that one. Let's get somebody. No, no, no. There is a God in heaven like the prodigal son that is waiting to run back to them, friend. And what I'm saying tonight is this. You and I, yes, we're resting in God. Yes, we want to apply these promises. Yes, at Cross Point Baptist Church, we want to step out by faith. We want to read through the Bible. We want to tithe that. We want to be a Christian. We want to make this the best year ever. And we're going to get to February and something is going to go amiss. Something is going to go wrong. What do? We can't give up. Get back on the field. Because there's a lot of people in this room that we're for each other. We're cheering. Come on, George, you got it. Come on, Brother Brian, you got this. Come on, Gary, get back in the fight. Come on, Shell and Burbs, get back in there. We're going to cheer you on. We're going to help you. Pastor Chris, Miss Lord, you can do this. We're there with you. Can I just tell you, friend, shouldn't we be cheerleaders of each other? Well, did you hear about so-and-so? Nope, and I don't want to either. Well, I heard through the old grapevine, well, chop that grapevine down and burn it. Well, a little birdie told me, shoot the birdie. And let's be cheerleaders for each other. You know, I wish I could just say, step out by faith, you'll be good, you'll be great. And there's a lot of people who take the Word of God out of context. If you get saved, woo, your life is just, will never be, you know, bad. You're just never, we go through tough times, do we not? 2020 was a rough year. Looks like 2021 is going to be a rough year. Maybe 2022, maybe 2023, 24. I don't know. You say, Pastor, stop. I don't want to hear it. I'm just telling you, friend, we don't know what the future holds. But we know who holds that.